there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 271 for Thursday, January 21st. 2016. I think I got the date right this week. That was a mess last week. Oh, man. I had two dates on two different screens. Anyway, doesn't really matter. Hi, Phil Nickinson. How's it going? Welcome to the show. So, first thing first. Not first things first. Only one thing first. We are changing up the podcast a little bit, but not really. And I'm not entirely sure how we're changing it just yet. The big change is that I'm not going to have to edit it anymore. We have brought somebody on board to actually do some semi-professional editing to it. And that means we're changing the way we're recording it. Instead of just me recording, you know, myself in one channel and everybody else in the other, we're going to do everybody separately and mix it all back together the way you're kind of supposed to when you're doing remote podcasts like this. So the end result should be that it's going to sound a lot better. That's the important part. But it also takes a little longer to do to edit it back together, and especially because I'm not doing it. So we're probably going to start recording sooner. So the date might well change to Thursday. I don't know. Maybe we'll try to do it Friday mornings. I still wanted to get it out in time for like end of business Friday in the U.S. so everybody can listen to it on the way home or on the weekend or whatever. So I don't want to change that up. But we're still kind of feeling that out. And this is actually the first show we're doing with this whole new scheme. So bear with us. I don't think it will affect the end product any except to make it sound better, even though we're still on it. You know what I mean? You get the point. So we might end up changing the live recording times here and there. If you're not listening to it live, you don't care. But the end result should be we get it out, you know, about the same time, if not maybe a little sooner. We'll see. And it should sound better. So that's the important part from my end. I guess we're also pretty much foregoing ads for a little while. So probably not a huge deal for a lot of people. I didn't mind doing them. It was kind of nice. It was nice to get paid for this. But we've got a whole nother scheme in the works there. So certainly not a reflection, I hope, on how I was selling mattresses, but I thought that was pretty cool.
Now, to be clear, you've tasked another human being on this planet with editing Jerry?
Yes.
Man.
Well, I've been editing Jerry for years. Calm down.
Exactly. Russell Holly, everybody. You've got like some skin there. You've built up a tolerance.
I love editing Jerry. I'm trying to remember what was really hard about doing the double ending recordings. I mean, if you've ever done it, it's just a matter of lining everybody up. So Russell Holly is here. We also have Era Wagoner here for the very first time. How about that? How are you?
Hi, everybody.
So a couple things we wanted to do on this show, and the big reason we have Era here is, one, she's awesome. But two, she's been doing a lot of theming work. So as soon as we have her back and ready, welcome to non-live radio. We will talk some theming, but we got a whole lot of other stuff going on too. Russell wanted me to talk a little bit about my my weekend exploits. I took my family on, it was the first time I took my girls on a trip. My wife and I obviously have traveled some, not obviously, unless you're stalking us. But it's the first time we've taken our girls anywhere on a plane. Well, anywhere on a plane. And so we went down to Boca Raton for a bar mitzvah of my wife's college roommate's son, cousin, brother's nephew's neighbor. A lot of fun, actually. But the interesting nerdy thing for me was twofold. One was I used a digital key. We stayed at a Hilton, I guess. And I used my phone as my key. So that was new. Instead of just using a little credit card size key.
Like the NFC chip in the back of your phone where you just tapped it to the door?
No, it's Bluetooth. So you have to be within 5 feet before you can even unlock the door.
Okay. So Bluetooth proximity stuff.
Yeah, which makes sense from a security thing. So you can't either accidentally open your door from, you know, a mile away or somebody force you to open your door maybe. But, you know, like you actually have to be there. So that makes sense. I get that. On one hand, it was cool. It was easy. It was one less thing to worry about carrying around. But on the other, it's like, okay, I walked out of the elevator, and actually my room was just outside the elevator. So I get out of the elevator and I have to open the app up, and I have to remember to open the app up. And then I have to find, well, I mean, it was a big button, but then I have to hit the button, and it usually took about 10 seconds or so between the time that I hit the button and the time that the door unlocked and we could actually go inside. It's not a lot of time, but it's a lot of time when you're doing it like six times. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're dealing with, you know, physical keys or the NFC, you know, slide keys, or even just the old magnetic strip keys that are all, you know, fairly instant. You know, put the thing in and it opens the door. That was why I was kind of hoping it was NFC, because, you know, I've used in New York a bunch of those things that are just NFC tags, where you tap to the door lock and it just opens immediately. But Bluetooth, I don't know, Bluetooth kind of feels like a weird way of doing that when you already have NFC.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are technical reasons why they did that. Maybe that's just what the vendor was using. I don't know that I mean, NFC would be nice, I guess. What I would really love is some sort of like Android Pay / Apple Pay style, you know, tap, that same exact sort of thing. That would be perfect to me, especially now that we fingerprint stuff on phones and blah, blah, blah. I get that we're not quite there yet. But this was not an awful implementation by any stretch of the imagination. It was just a little slow once you do it. You know, like the sixth time, it's like, okay, just give me a damn key that I can put in and be
sure. Done. Now, the big benefit there from when you were explaining it to me was that you didn't have to interact with the front desk at all.
That was the cool part, especially because we were lugging our kids along. So, you know, it's two kids and their luggage and bears and dolls and all that. And, yeah, we just got out of the car and went straight up to the room. That was cool. Now, at the same time, I was thinking about ways that maybe I would still want to stop by the front desk. One is, people are nice sometimes, especially, I tend to get a lot of hospitality people who are just awesome these days, and it's not nearly a nightmare that you might hear about. I gotta wonder if I would be offered, like, if I was doing this by myself on a work trip or something, would I be offered an upgrade, maybe? I don't know. Every now and then that happens. I don't know if that would happen when I've got, you know, something like this. Trying to think what else I might have missed. So every now and then you get a glass of champagne or something, or a bottle of water. So, I mean, from that standpoint, sure. I guess the big difference was just it took forever. You know, nine or 10 seconds every single time was too long.
Part of me is trying to figure out, like, you know, because you're right, having, you know, interacting with the hospitality person isn't usually it's not like it's a massive problem, unless you're in a situation like, you know, you've got, you know, two kids and you've just gotten off a plane and you really just want to get into a hotel and get everything unpacked. And that's why I think it might be cool to have like the two different experiences. Like maybe there's a way to do both, you know, because I can think of a couple times where we've been traveling and it's been, you know, 10:30 at night that I've gotten off the airplane and I don't want to talk to anybody. But the next morning, you know, like going in and talking to someone would be kind of cool. So, like, I feel like this is a cool first step, but maybe there's like a middle ground that could be reached there.
Yeah, and it was just me, so this only works on one phone at a time. I couldn't put it on my wife's phone as well. Oh,
Shannon couldn't have a key as well? That's not cool.
Right. So, I mean, go down and get an actual physical key from the front desk, but it didn't work from her phone as well, and specifically. But moreover, there was one time I was parking my car. Or not my car, the rental car. I was parking the car and let all them out because the weather was starting to get bad. I said, all right, going up, I'll meet you up there in a minute. Oh, by the way, don't let the phone go to sleep because it's locked with my fingerprint and you won't be able to get into it. And actually, Shannon doesn't even know my backup PIN code. And I don't know hers either for that matter. Sure enough, I get up there and they're all just, oh, there you are, finally. Thanks. Thanks for showing up.
Yeah, that's not cool. There definitely needs to be a way to have multiple people with keys.
Yeah. Or you just go get the physical key. So right. That was a thing. But I mean, all in all, it was an interesting experiment and not one that I hated nearly as much as it's one of those things I could see just going miserably and my wife just looking at me funny the entire time as tends to happen when we're playing with toys like this. But you know, it was fine. The other fun little experiment I did was with a company called Silver Car. Normally, I don't rent cars on trips. We're just in cities big enough where I don't have to do that. And Silver Car's been around a little while. I'd seen, you know, ads and stuff. And they only rent Audis, which was cool. And I've never driven an Audi, and an Audi is generally nicer than I will rent if I'm paying for it. So I figured I'd do that. And as it turned out, it was going to be cheaper. I had to go back and look. Originally, I'd booked an SUV, like a small SUV. I think, you know, Ford Escape, maybe, is what they said it was, or similar. So this was going to be like $90 cheaper to start with. I knew we'd all fit. That wouldn't be a big deal. I was like, all right, I'll try it. And it's one of those sort of, you know, disrupty, you know, book us on your app type of services. And you end up not using the app all that much. You text them when you get to the airport, and there's a nice big button in the app to help facilitate that. And then they come, depending on where you are, it's live in like 11 cities. Depending on where you are, they can come just drop the car off to you, and you scan the car with your phone, and that's it. You're done. In Fort Lauderdale, they have to do it all off site because the airport doesn't allow it, and that sucks. And I actually talked with them on the phone this morning, and they're like, look, that's worst case scenario. But a lot of other places, they make it a lot easier for you. So all in all, not a bad experience there either. You know, driving an Audi for the weekend for cheaper than I would rent some, you know, mommy mobile a little bit. Had Wi-Fi built into the car, which is kind of cool. Yeah, I'm not sure whose 3G it was using. Just didn't bother to check. I didn't use it because I've got LTE on the phone. So the navigation, you don't get charged extra for, which is nice. They don't charge extra for child seats, which is, you know, another plus. So like, you don't get really nickeled and dimed. They don't have set rates across all their locations, but you do get an estimate when you first reserve the car. So I think it was $252 was the initial estimate for like 3 days, and then when all was said and done, the total was like $272, and most of that was gas. So, I mean, all in all, I was pretty happy with that, too. And that's like, it's not quite a mobile experience thing, but it kind of is. And, you know, something different to try. So, and especially when I'm paying for things, you know, trying to be a little cheaper about it. And it turned out pretty good. So that was cool.
Now, when they come and do the pickup where they drop off the car to you, or they pick you up and take you somewhere else, is there still like actual physical paperwork that needs to be filled out, or can that all happen through the Silver Car app?
I tell you, it was all done through the app.
Awesome. That's the way that should be.
Yeah, I gave them my driver's license number, and the very first time you rent from them, they actually look at your license real quick just to make sure it's you. They look at your credit card just to, you know, to verify that. But that's the only time you have to do it. After that, it's just going to be like literally scan the barcode on the car, get in and go. And even then, I mean, even with having to go off site to get the car, which again, like Fort Lauderdale is the only place you have to do this. It was really, really fast and really nicely done. And the people were really nice. They do, I think when you first sign up, they give you like $50 off your first ride. So that helped too, actually. But even then, it still would have been cheaper than the other company that I ended up canceling with. And then, actually, we'll have a promo code. I think it's up now if you use Android 15. Don't do it on your first ride. Do it on your second one because you'll save more with that $50. But that'll get you, 15% off. And they do, like, personal affiliate codes, too, which is cool. Let's see. Yeah, I was trying to find my total. Yeah, so $251 and then $272 was the total. So, I mean, that was a pretty cool experience too. Not quite like Uber for rentals, but really close. And really easy and seemed like at least in this case it saved me a couple bucks. I think next time I have to rent a car, I'll still price shop first. So I don't know if this will end up being cheaper then, but it was a good experience. So cool little travel hacks for me this past weekend.
Yeah, that's neat.
Cool. So you have been doing some theming work of late, have you not?
Yes, I have. I've been doing lots of fun theming work for y'all as of late, including Deadpool, which I really need to get done this weekend so I can focus on the Super Bowl. Yay, Deadpool.
So, Russell, I'm going to let you lead Arrow through that because you guys have been working together on all this stuff. But kind of start me from the beginning. What is theming my phone? What exactly does that do?
Well, we all have the home screen on our phone, but most of us just, we either don't bother to set a wallpaper, we just stick with the one that came with the phone, or we take a picture of our kids or something and all of our apps look. You use these icons that came with your apps as you downloaded them, and they all, every app has a different icon, but they don't all look the same. They don't all mesh the same. They aren't all the same size. They don't look as nice. But theming your phone, it doesn't have to be something big or elaborate like some of the Star Wars themes or like the Deadpool theme that I'm working on. But at the very least, it allows you to take a little bit more control over your phone. We don't live in an app drawer. We can add more widgets to make our phone look nice. We can add custom icons to not have the same boring app icon staring us at us every day. Because if you're going to have to pick up your phone 50, 100 times a day, you might as well have something decent to look at.
So yeah, I mean, from the beginning, Android has always been kind of about customization. That has been one of the big things. You can set widgets how you want. Icons aren't automatically placed for you on the home screen. You have the ability to, you know, group things in folders the way that you want. You can set whatever you want as your ringtone. And in the very early days of Android, these were like really big deals that were big deals because you couldn't do them on the iPhone or on Windows Phone or anything like that. And so, you know, moving into theming, you know, it takes the idea of, you know, setting a custom wallpaper or something like that and moving it much further into, you know, people who want to, you know, customize or, you know, create a personalized, you know, kind of look to just about every aspect of the phone. And it used to be really complex things that had to be kind of sideloaded with Android, like, you know, custom versions of Android that got sideloaded through things like CyanogenMod and stuff like that. But as we've moved on into, you know, newer versions of Android, we've reached a point where there are apps out there that make a lot of this really easy.
And it used to be more that as we hit like this in between, you saw the manufacturers themselves kind of launch into this, right? Like HTC's done some. I think Samsung's had some, but really CyanogenMod was kind of one of the first to really bake it in, right?
Yeah, they were the first to really bake it in. And even then, like, this is what R has been doing is the ability to kind of take the pieces together and assemble something that is completely yours. Whereas the theme engines that we've seen from HTC and Samsung are really kind of like one button push things that change everything to match a particular theme. So you kind of have to take, you know, the good with the bad there. But I've been really impressed. I've been learning a lot of the stuff that Ara has been showing as she's been building these themes. It's really impressive to see that it really just doesn't take a lot of work anymore to do a lot of this stuff. It can, like, you can get really crazy and granular with some of the changes, but Ara, you know, talk to us a little bit about the more popular apps that are being used to put all this stuff together right now.
Well, obviously you have your launchers. Your launcher is one of the most important things you're using when you're theming a phone. I'm a huge fan of Nova Launcher, but Phil likes Action Launcher very much. And Action Launcher is actually really good for theming because once you set your wallpaper, the entire launcher will recolorize itself based on your wallpaper. So that's basically, it's almost one-touch theming apart from your widgets and your icon pack. I've been using Zuper Widget a lot lately, but I also need to get into another app that's been around for a while, UCCW, which is, I think, Ultimate Customized Clock Widget. Those have been really good for, like, building your own widgets if the ones that come with your apps aren't useful enough. I've been really liking, before I was writing about Android, before I was with Android Central and I was theming my phone, I didn't have a lot of money for a whole lot of apps, but the one app that I always used when I was theming was Google Drive, because you're going to be building like icons in Photoshop and you're going to be building widgets and different things. You're going to be pulling all these elements together. You're going to be searching for different wallpapers around the internet. You need some place to pull all that together for your themes, and Google Drive has just been, oh, I have my phone again. I can just reload the theme off of Google Drive. So those have been really good for me. I like a lot of, there's a good couple of third-party widgets as well. I've been using Jack's Music Widget for a while, and I've really enjoyed it because it will, if I'm watching Netflix, Netflix will pop up on my home screen. If I'm watching Hulu, Hulu will pop up on my home screen so I can play pause as needed. That's really good if you have kids that are watching something from the Chromecast. I also really like Glim as an icon pack. It's been nice and diverse. Let's see, what else? Do y'all have any that y'all have been using? Although I've been taking point on this, I'm always open to suggestions on these.
Well, so I don't have any one in particular. Like, I switch between a ton of the ones that I've purchased over the years from The Flash, usually for whatever my nerd obsession is at the time. But one of the interesting things that I found about Icon Packs, it seems like Icon Packs feel like an impossible job, because the whole point of an Icon Pack is to have all of your icons follow a particular theme, because you know, if you use your stock launcher or the Google Now launcher, you have icons that aren't the same size, you have icons that are wildly different in design, and every once in a while you run into a app developer who at will changes the color of their icon to something really terrible. I'm looking at you, Slack, with your purple mess a couple weeks ago. And so you run into these really weird things, but it is we're never going to reach a point where these icon pack developers are able to create truly custom themed icons for every single app in the Play Store. It's just never going to happen. So the end result nowadays is you get like whatever that developer or artist feels like is the most popular icons gets their own kind of special custom theme, and then everything else gets kind of like a box that the icon gets set in with a color, and it just feels I don't know, it takes away from the experience a little bit for me, and it's hard to do that. The closest thing that I've seen to a real solution to that is like you mentioned, Glim. Because there's just so many color options in Glim for every single icon that you can just kind of go through and pick whatever you want and set them up. But how would you approach that as a problem to be solved? You know, for having icons that, you know, look nice.
Well, as you mentioned, Glim is a great example, not just because they have the color variants of so many of their themes, but they also have alternate icons. They have all these generic icons that you can take and you can use to fill in the gaps in your app drawer. And that's actually what I did when I had, for my holiday theme, I had red icons for everything. And obviously not all of the apps that Glim has done have red variants or have red icons. So I would go in and I could go into the alternates folder and just go berserk, because they have, I want to say, 800 alternate icons, and that number might have gone up in one of the last updates. But yeah, alternate icons have been really good for that. Or also, because you can set icons individually, if there's one that, like the camera icon, they don't usually do a camera icon for each individual manufacturer's camera app. So like whenever I set an icon pack on the HTC One A9, I have to set the camera icon specifically, but there are hundreds of camera apps out there. If yours wasn't covered by an icon pack, you can still go in and individually set that, because there has to be some sort of a camera in there.
Do we still run into problems where an app updates in the Play Store and you lose that icon on the app drawer? Because I remember a couple years ago that was a real problem, where an app would update and you know you had gone through the effort of skinning it and then it would disappear.
Sometimes that happens and sometimes that doesn't. With Glim, that had happened to me a lot during my red variants. Like, I would update it and I would have to go back and set it back to red. But I've had Mercenary going for Deadpool for a few weeks, and that hasn't happened at all. And I've had like 20 different app updates. So those have been sticking fairly well. So it depends on the icon pack and whether or not you're using the standard icon, the default icon in a pack, or if you're using a custom one.
What do you feel like is the next step with themes? Because we've got this really impressive set of tools that are now a lot easier than, you know, flashing a whole ROM or going through. But it's still a pretty considerable amount of work. Like I find it hard to look at Phil and say, hey, take 20 minutes out of your day and set this thing up. It'll look really nice when he can just keep things the way that they are or change a wallpaper or something like that. Is it unreasonable to want a system that is easier to kind of assemble complete thoughts as far as themes go?
Well, to a degree we have that with, you can download like Apex, you can download entire themes from the store and they come with the wallpaper, the icon packs. Some of them even come with, not quite sounds, I think, but they have, they come with fonts and they come with other assets to help you build, put that theme together. I think the next logical step, apart from, you know, building a theme and then backing it up and sending it out, but even then that's only for one particular launcher. If we were able to see something on a system level, like with the Google Now launcher, whenever you set up a new phone, you get your wallpaper and you get your icon, you get your home screen set up the way you had it right off the bat. Does it do that with widgets too, or just with the app icons?
Oh, it'll blow away widgets entirely, because I mean the default is just the four folders and or the six folders.
I thought it would redo the way your icons were set up on the home screen, or would it just do what apps you have installed in your wallpaper?
For Google Now Launcher, it has its own set of defaults that it relies on when you first set it up.
All right. Yeah, but seeing something to where if you could, when you set up your phone, it's like, oh, you were on this phone last. We see you have this app data, because we are starting to see more global backups for apps. If we could do that for, if on a system level you could back up how your phone, how your launcher was set up, and have that in the cloud whenever you go to your new, go to a new device or go from device to device, and you could just port that over the way we do our app downloads. That would be amazing, but I don't think it's going to get there quite yet. Like when I was setting up the Star Wars themes and I was sending them to you, Russell, I could do the Nova backups, but that still requires one person setting it up and then sending it off to somebody else. And if you have a different size phone, if you have a different different list of apps installed, there's going to be gaps. There's going to be things that don't port over correctly.
Yeah, yeah, because I was setting stuff up on the Nexus 6P, and that meant that, you know, widgets needed to be resized because they weren't the, you know, they weren't the right physical dimensions anymore, because they're, you know, they're relying on a set size based on based on icon allotment or space allotment on the desktop, and not things like dot pitch or anything like that. So it's hard, and it's also, you know, each one of these developers is kind of doing their own thing, and while there is some communication there, like we see. It's really easy for, you know, Action Launcher and Nova Launcher and whatnot to import icons from just about everyone that is making icons. It's still very much a manual process.
Yes.
And to be fair, I mean it's gotten a lot better over the years than it had. That's actually what got me using a launcher in the first place, was stuff just didn't fit right. I would have, and especially because I was bouncing around the phone so much, I would have like just huge amounts of space between my calendar widget and icons, and they've gotten better about that. Some of that was Google stuff, but it was definitely a mess for a while.
Now, when you jump from one phone to another, do you have like a default import of stuff that you really liked from your other phone, or do you just manually reset stuff up?
I've started, especially now that I'm back on Nexus phones, and we'll see how well, you know, I guess on Marshmallow phones. I've started using that restore stuff, and I'll let it run overnight because it's not quick. But obviously that doesn't do, you know, it doesn't put widgets back. It doesn't do anything about wallpapers. I generally don't change my wallpaper that much. I tell you, the only time I used my first icon pack recently, and that was on the Huawei Mate 8, just because that phone is a mess. EMUI is a mess when it comes to icons. I really am not a big fan of messing with the way the developers do their icons. I think it's one thing if you are using an icon pack. It's another thing to say, you know what, screw the fact that you take all this time to design an icon and cut it out and make it look nice and pretty with that. We're going to put a background on it. Not crazy about that at all. So the Mate 8 was the first phone I ever used an icon pack on, and I'm still not crazy about that. I think, you know, Google's default icons are very good. There are a lot of really good third-party icons out there. But I finally did. I think I was using Sunrise. It's not bad. I mean, it works. But in an EMUI's case, you still have the stupid background on the back of them. So
wait, even the third-party icon packs, it still puts that horrible background on.
Welcome to Huawei software.
Screw that.
Yeah, it's just a matter of making, you know, putting lipstick on a pig. But yeah, it's the first time I've used them, so I get where the appeal is. But I tell you, we get screenshots from people every day, and some of them just make me scratch my head. And every now and then, I almost reply back, "Really? Really, you make your phone look, oh, that's not fair. It's not nice." So I don't. But yeah, there's a lot of really interesting stuff out there.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the things I really like about our recent project to start putting together these monthly themes for Star Wars and stuff, is that these are cohesive, nicely designed They're not, you know, here's my bright green wallpaper with my orange icons and my my dark purple widget.
You're making my head hurt.
It happens all the time. Like, I can't tell you how many screenshots I've seen.
Or when fonts are, like, in cursive and isn't, no, no.
I did use cursive at one point.
Did you?
On my very first Android phone, I did use a cursive font for
it's,
a while.
It's still a big option on Samsung phones to set your font to that.
I tell you, if you want to, you go right ahead. But if you want us to ever use your screenshot, don't send it in cursive. I can't do anything with that. I use cursive on the second screen of the V10.
But for theming on, like, the Samsung phone, you mentioned that they're, like, one click and done. For a Samsung theme, you have basically no choices. It's take the entire theme or leave it.
Yeah.
In between. Like, if I like the icon pack from one theme and the wallpaper from another, I can't mix and match between them like that. The HTC, I can kind of mix and match, maybe, but Samsung is take it or leave it, which is why I have Material Dark, and then I put another launcher on there, because I need choices, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that was one of our big, you know, criticisms when it first started for the Samsung setup, was that it was super easy to get into it, but then there were no options. And they haven't really improved that from this point. I guess it was something they launched with the Galaxy S6. Maybe it's something we'll see them improve on with the launch of the Galaxy S7 as kind of a larger software push. I hope they do. I hope that they keep putting more attention on it, because it's something HTC's been kind of slowly updating and letting third-party developers go in and do stuff and kind of have some fun with it. And while that's a really small group, it's a small group of people that seem to really appreciate the option.
Yeah, the theming in HTC is a little bit more robust. They've been getting into a little bit more trouble because it's a little bit more of a Wild West in there as far as porting stuff over from Google Play. But
Oh, you mean like there are people going in and publishing stuff that's not theirs?
Yeah, there's been a lot of that going on. Well, I say a lot. There's one person who's been doing an awful lot of it. But, yeah, but it's been interesting to do the HTC themes, especially since they will they'll let you mix and match to a degree. It's like, oh, you don't like this, you can go back to the default for the dialer setting if you need the dialer to look the same no matter what theme you're using.
Do you think there's any value, and I guess maybe this is a question for Phil, do you think there's any value in a manufacturer, you know, having built this setup, reaching out to these developers to you know, work with the things that are already being used by people, or are these kind of siloed systems the better way to go for them?
I think it's probably going to depend on the manufacturer a little bit. You know, Samsung traditionally is pretty siloed when it comes to that. But I think the fact that HTC has this whole public ecosystem of themes and invites you to submit your themes, and in fact will sell themes. Yeah, I forget, did they ever actually end up selling them?
I don't think they're selling anything, which is part of the big thing with the icon packs being ripped off, because these are paid icon packs that are getting shoved in there.
No, I get that. They were also doing sponsored ones. You know, back in when it first launched, there was a Coke one, which was kind of funny. I think they did a couple others after that. So yeah, I could see manufacturers being open to it. I don't think they'll all do it. I don't think they all should do it. It's totally up to them. And that's kind of the point of all this, right? Is you can just do whatever you want the way you want to do it.
I would just love if one of the manufacturer themes would use Google Play icons, because, like, you can use icon packs in TouchWiz or Sense Home. You just can't use any Google Play icon packs.
Well,
you're
sure,
stuck in that store.
But, right, but remember whose icons those are. Those aren't icon packs icons. Those are Google's icons. So,
no, icons that you buy in the Play Store.
Oh, I see. I see what you mean. Okay. Gotcha.
When I say Google Play icon packs, I mean icon packs
from Google Play. And I think that would be a cool way to do that, especially since the frameworks are already there in these other launchers. But there may be some legal stuff there that we're not aware of for interacting with that kind of stuff. Things get kind of tricky when the manufacturers try to brand stuff on their own and then include other people's things. So
have we seen Lloyd pop up in any icon packs?
I haven't seen any, but
it's a little surprising.
He I know that the Flash likes to make really fancy versions of Lloyd for the Android Central app.
Right.
In a lot of his icons. And I know that he did a couple of really neat wallpapers for the Star Wars theme kit that Ara put together, but I don't think I've ever seen Lloyd abused for any of those. That would be... It would surprise me that they didn't exist. I just don't know where they are. So what do you want to see next from theming in general, Ara? Do you have higher expectations for icon pack developers? Do you want launchers to start doing things a little differently in the future? What do you feel like is the next step for these?
I'd love for launchers to start being able to include the sounds, so that way when I restore my Star Wars theme, I get the Star Wars ringtone back. But so that way I don't have to keep resetting that in the regular settings. Because, I mean, if Zedge can set your ringtone, your launcher should probably be able to at some point.
I think audio settings they're not normalized, though. They're different per manufacturer, aren't they? So that may be an interesting challenge to work around. Because, I mean, like, you know, for Nexus phones, that would probably be really easy, but HTC's sound manager is a little different, Samsung's sound manager is a little different, so that... I think you're right. I think that would be the next step there as far as a complete theme, but I can see where that would be an interesting challenge.
I don't know. If all the ringtone and wallpaper apps that are out there have managed to figure it out, I think we should be able to get it into a launcher at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a fair point. You're absolutely right. There are definitely plenty of ringtone apps out there that have that handled already.
I'd also like to see like the lock screen incorporated into more launchers, but we're getting into more prickly things with that as far as third-party lock screens and things like Android Pay. The only thing I honestly missed from the LG G4 was the lock screen and the lock screen animations from it.
That is a clever lock screen.
I tell you who I think Huawei actually has some of the best animations right now, which is crazy because the rest of the UI is just a mess. But they have a lot of really good animations just all within EMUI, you know, whether it's the weird, you know, power things you get. And then somebody else does them pretty close to that, and I forget who. But yeah, it's funny to poke around in that and see stuff that I think works really well and a lot of things that not just I don't care for, but some that just don't work. But some places, you know, flashes of brilliance. Really are.
I know for the longest time the you know, kind of crown prince of animations was Xiaomi.
Yes.
Their animations have always been like always, even way far back, like Nexus One days was really crazy. And so it's interesting to see that's the focus. Not so much a functional user interface, but that it looks really nice.
Do we think anyone's gonna go kind of crazy with theming in 2016? I mean, we're getting really close to the new crop of phones here in the next month.
I think it would be nice to see Samsung do more than what they've got right now. But I also have no way to, you know, measure how successful that was with the current crop of phones. So sure. It's hard to say.
So many of the people who use Samsung phones that I see change absolutely nothing. I'm not even sure if they know that they can change the theme on their phone. But I wish that Samsung would do them better. Because the griefs that I have with TouchWiz aside, it's a really nice theming engine. I love Material Dark on being able to put Material Dark on the S6 Edge that I have. I'd like to be able to do that for more apps. I would love for Google to do some sort of a darker light theme engine, because I have been begging for dark themes for years since they took it away from me in Google Play Music.
That's true.
I will beg for that forever. Give it back.
All right. Well, Phil, I guess we're ready to move on to Q&A for a little while.
Yeah. Let's see what's going on there. Timothy wants to know, are there any launchers out there yet that let you keep the Google Now screen? I don't think there are. It used to be hacked in there a little bit. Can you guys think of any?
No, I think that's just the Google Now launcher for now. Yeah. I mean, like, I know, and even with Marshmallow, you can't really summon it because that's Now on Tap now. So
I don't miss Now on Tap. I just don't use it at all.
So, I don't mind having okay it there, but I haven't had it work much.
It's unfortunate. Oh. It would be a nice option to have. But let's see. Joel says he just discovered layers on the Tesla ROM. What are those? I don't know what they are. We'll have to check that out. I tell you what's going to be really interesting is in the next bit, Robin. I think we talked about that a little bit last time, maybe, or maybe back in the CES podcast. Widgets, and this might be the same sort of thing, widgets are on a separate layer. So you don't put them on the home screen. You you do the pinch to zoom thing, or you hold down on the menu button, and then you get this separate layer. So it wouldn't surprise me if that's exactly the same thing. I'm going to be real curious to see how people take to the next bit launcher, because it's almost EMUI in that you don't have an app drawer. It's very springboardy, but it's, you know, springboardy without trying to look like an iPhone. So it's going to be interesting. And that'll be soon, too. A couple weeks, I guess. Lars wants to know, how come the chat and comments are disabled on the YouTube page for the podcast? I have no idea.
General incompetence on my part. I was the one who set it up this week, so I probably did something wrong.
No. I is it like that every week?
I have no idea.
What else? Joel says, more females in Android publications. I'm a male, but I am interested in the female opinion when it comes to Android. Is there a female opinion when it comes to Android?
I think opinions vary, but female opinions vary no more than male opinions vary, I think. I want more phones that'll fit in the front pocket of my jeans. It's more of an issue for me than it is actually, for most men.
You're not the only one. I've had that problem with the 6P. Absolutely have had that same problem.
I think that was the first thing, because you and I were sitting together in Texas when I unboxed the A9. And that was the first thing
the
you
phone
did.
I can actually put in my front pocket most of the time.
You put it in your pants pocket and just went, it works!
Timothy wants to know, when you guys get unreleased phones for review, is it hard keeping it a secret from people? Have any of you had anyone notice that you were using an unreleased phone?
Yes.
Yeah? Which
part? I was in Starbucks with the Priv, and someone came up and sat down and was just like, I've never seen that BlackBerry phone before, and like wanted to talk to me for a couple minutes, and I was like, well, I gotta go now.
I mean, look, I don't think any of the manufacturers has technically, probably, if we're under NDA, you're not supposed to show anybody. But like, I know people who get the iPhone under NDA and like, you are not allowed to talk about it, period. You are not allowed to show it. Do not friggin' do it. I don't think we've ever been yelled at quite that much for any of the Android phones. So like, every now and then somebody might notice something, I'll show it to them. Not a big deal. You know, as long as they're not publishing anything about it, probably not the end of the world. They notice, sure. I mean, sometimes people be, what is that? Especially, you know, like here in my office, we have it's not communal or whatever, but it's just all different businesses here. So everybody knows that I always have something fun here. What do you have? But yeah, I mean, if it's something that you're not supposed to show off, you don't show it off either. So I don't think it's that hard, even when you have something really cool.
My neighbor pulled up this summer as I was, or this fall as I was dropping the, Droid Turbo 2 in the driveway, and he got out of his car and was just like, did your girlfriend just piss you off or something? Like, why'd you just throw your phone on the floor? And I was like, oh no, I'm doing this for work. Here, drop this phone real quick. And he was really confused. My neighbor must think that I do really terrible things for work.
What's really fun to me is like when it's a brand new phone, because we forget that, you know, we know about this stuff before it comes out. We know about it the minute it does come out, and we forget that most people aren't like that.
Right.
So it's a lot of fun, like, to be going through TSA. I remember specifically at LaGuardia, going through TSA on the way home from an event, and somebody's like, hey, is that the new whatever it was? And this was years ago. It's like, yeah, it is. It's pretty, like, it's cool when people recognize and know what we're talking about. To me, that's even more fun than it being.
It's really not cool when they don't know what you're talking about.
And right.
Then the TSA want to body check you.
Nice iPhone. And really the hardest thing for me, like using an unannounced phone, is just making sure something dumb and accidental doesn't happen. You know, taking pictures, sharing pictures, trying to remember which services will show the EXIF data. And really it's just Google Plus. And, you know, stupid little things like that. Because I don't want to, and especially I don't want to blow embargoes for other publications. And I mean, they're competitors, but they're friends too. I don't want to blow it, you know, for them. So that's as important, I think, for me anyway.
You are probably the only one here who can answer this question. Many Chinese OEMs don't allow for much customization since they block launchers. Are there solutions to this problem?
Do they block launchers?
Well, you brought up a couple times that installing side launchers on some of those phones are like it's really super hidden.
The one
so it may not be that they're blocked.
But. Yeah, the Mate 8 or not the Mate 8, the Mate S was literally broken in that respect. That was one of those times when you're like EMUI breaks things. That was fixed in the Mate 8, and it took me a minute, and I'm not sure if it was an action launcher problem or an EMUI problem or if I was just screwing up, but like the default didn't stick at first for some reason. So I was like, oh God, are we not going to be able to set a default? And you got to be able to set a default. They hide it a little bit. You have to go to like settings, apps, advanced settings, default apps, then home. So like it's buried six layers down if you want to flip back and forth or anything. But I haven't figured out if that was just me missing something. But in any case, it's fixed now. And it wasn't just launchers, but it was like, on the Mate S, you could not run Android Auto. Never mind the fact that it was Lollipop and it should be perfectly fine. But Android Auto just did not work. It threw up some error saying that your phone was going to blow up and was just, you know, something was not right.
Have gone awry.
Yeah. I mean, that's been fixed on the Mate 8. The Mate 8, for all its problems, I mean, I used it for most of CES because the battery is just insane. I was going to write something for this Sunday, actually. Because more people are getting the Mate 8, and this is something I've learned about over the past 6 months, as well as I've been experimenting with more Huawei phones, is when you're trying to figure out why something does what it's doing, it's battery at all costs. That's especially on the Mate line, you know, on the big Mate line, the Mate 7, the Mate 8, what they call their business phones. They see business people as needing to use their phones until they are no longer conscious. And I mean the business person, not the phone. So that battery has to last as long as possible. And when in doubt, that's why something weird is going on. It's because they're trying to save battery. And damn it, these things will run all day. I came back from this trip from Boca, and person two offices down is like, hey, you know, music's been coming out of your office like every morning, but it doesn't sound like your music. And we're trying to figure out what it is. And I think it was the Mate 8, which hadn't been charged in literally like 6 days at that point. But I had left an alarm on it from CES, actually. So the alarm was firing at 7:30 every morning, and I guess somebody was in the building. So yeah, that's what was going on there. But yeah, I might write something for Sunday. But when in doubt, it's battery. That's why.
Crazy. I mean, I get the there is definitely a reason to put focus on battery life. But the like some of the things that you've said, like as soon as the screen gets turned off, then like a task killer comes in and starts shutting apps down so that nothing runs in the background and no notifications show up. That is a weird extreme to jump to. But you're right. Having that battery at all costs is definitely a priority for some people. So
Joel just shot us a note. Says this is layers. So let me flip through it real quick. No pictures. I need picture. No, too many words. I need pictures. Layers, what we call our themes. Okay.
Who do they think we are?
I need pictures, man. Come on. Well, cool. I will read that when we are done podcast. I mean, I could read on the podcast, but that's not nearly as exciting. All right, well, if there's no more Q&A.
Yeah, I think we're actually done this week.
Carl does mention you caught me off guard again. Our podcast now on a floating schedule. Yes, they are. Until we figure it out.
Until they are not.
Until they are no longer floating. No, this podcast is going to be a little weird because we are trying to ease into this new editing thing, which, again, as EMUI is all about battery, our new weird podcast stuff is all about making it sound better. So I will no longer be editing it, and Jim will, and it will sound better. So yeah, we're figuring out the schedule. I think Thursday might be better to record anyway. We'll see. We gotta get that done. Anything else from the past week or so that you guys want to talk about before we hit it?
I can't think of anything huge that has happened this past week. Oh, no, I lied. Andrew wrote a review of the Under Armour Health Box.
Yes. So I got to see this thing at CES. I'm really close to opening up my wallet for it. It's $400 for everything together. So it's a big giant scale, connected scale, a little wristband thing, and they've got a heart rate sensor that goes across your chest, like one of the good actual ones that you're supposed to use if you really care about that stuff. $400 for all three, plus the UA Record app, which ties it all together, but also will suck in other health services that have APIs for that. I like the idea. I wrote something back while we were still in Vegas, actually, about, why I thought it was excellent that Under Armour is the lead brand here and not HTC. But I like the idea of getting all this stuff at one time, and that way you know it works together. You know it works together well. I've got a Withings scale at home, or is it Withings? I forget.
Withings, I think, is its name.
I've got that. I've started wearing a Fitbit again, and I don't quite know why, because I know how much I walk every day. I have a good feeling if I walked a lot or not. I also have an Android Wear watch that will tell me if I walked a lot. So do I really need this? I don't know. Probably not. So yeah, I'm trying it again. But I like the idea of it all being together and knowing that it all works together. And I like, you know, the UA Record is a really good app. So there's that. I'm trying to remember if there's anything still under embargo with that, actually. So I kind of want to watch what I say. Just because I don't know. But there's a lot going on there. I like the fact that it's coming from an established brand. I think that's a big deal, and it's going to be a big deal to people who are looking to get into that space. And if it was, you know, Samsung trying to sell you this stuff, you wouldn't buy it in the same way. And it wouldn't be sold the same way.
No, and I mean, it's being promoted like crazy. Like, there are window box advertisements in New York City already, and Under Armour is kind of going all out to promote it. And it's cool that, you know, HTC is a good company to handle the back end stuff, and Under Armour is definitely the company to promote the fitness aspect of it. So it's a cool way for these two companies to work together.
Russell did a really cool post on getting rid of the Facebook app. Most popular post of the week, if not ever. Wow.
I was really surprised by the difference in performance on my phone. I uninstalled the app, but I still wanted it to work, and I had completely forgotten that Chrome will push notifications to you from websites if you let it.
It'll do that from Android Central if you wanted to.
Right. And I had completely forgotten that feature even existed, and I had left Facebook open in a tab, and it sent me a notification. And like, I haven't looked back. I uninstalled it on everything else, because that's what I wanted. I wanted notifications, and I don't really care about much of anything else, because I'll refresh the page. And Facebook's mobile site is actually really nice, at least on the 6P. So
I took it off on my 6P. I still have it everywhere else. I don't know if the phone's running any better yet. It's kind of hit and miss, because some days I'm doing just crazy stuff. Some days it seems like things are syncing weird. I don't know. But yeah, you're right. The mobile site is, and look, I mean, that's what a lot of apps are, including ours, is just a web view. In Facebook in particular, that was the case. So yeah, I think if you don't want to install it, you don't have to. Now, one thing you will miss out on, I believe, I haven't checked, is the account connection.
You miss out on the account connection stuff unless you've already, like, so I had it already installed, so I went, like, everything that I had on my phone that relies on Facebook connection still has it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, Instagram and all that stuff, that all still works. But, yeah, you do miss the instant Facebook connection, and unless you use a wrapper app like Metal or something like that, then then sharing to Facebook from the Android Intents doesn't work. You have to go into Facebook on the browser and go and share it that way, which is a little tedious. The one recommendation that I got from a ton of people was asking why it is that I didn't just install the Facebook Lite APK.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who don't know, there's a special version of Facebook for India and I think one or two other companies or countries that is just a really lightweight version of Facebook.
Hang on, I know the answer to this question. You are not in India.
I am not in India. And I could just sideload the APK, and I may, you know, if I get really tired of not having an Android intent and see if Facebook Lite is any better. But I think it's weird that Facebook, it's not weird, it's intentional, but I wish that Facebook would make that APK, you know, an app that everyone could install. Like,
yeah.
If you don't like Facebook proper, install Facebook Lite.
Right. And sideloading it is not the solution to that
problem. Right. Yeah.
That's a hack.
And it's not something I'm going to recommend to other people either. Yeah. I mean, like, more technically minded people, sure. If that's what you want, then fine. But I'm not gonna go to my sister and go, hey, you know, install this APK because I said it's cool.
Only sideload from approved. Blah 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 blah. Have to, especially. Come on.
Oh yeah.
too many exploits out there. What do you guys think of the being able to install apps from search results? And we talked a lot about it internally this week. Like, you see people freaking, oh my God, you can install from search results. It's the exact same mechanism. It just bypasses having to open Google Play. It's not like it was this big technical marvel. You can look at the code as it's happening. They're installing an app. It's from the exact same spot. It's not like it's downloading it from some nefarious netherworld where apps never. I don't know. It's
well, and it only works if you're apps. Using, you know, my Google search bar from my Google powered Android phone is connecting to my Google Play Store to install an app. You know, the only concern that I had, and it's a really meager concern, was people getting comfortable with that interface and sure. It popping up somewhere on the web and people just kind of like not paying attention and auto tapping on things. But you run into that everywhere anyway. So,
yeah, I thought Andrew had a really good point in that it looks a lot like in-app purchases.
It does. Yeah.
So maybe it's not that big a deal from that perspective. I think you miss out on not having reviews, believe it or not. And that's not to say that reviews are all great, because a lot of times they're kind of crap. But you can get a good sense of positive or negative reactions. And I think you should read through the reviews real quick before you install an app. But it's actually interesting. Google's done a lot of work on the Dev Console to present recent reviews in that sort of perspective, so that, you know, developers can get a quick look at what people are saying. And it's not necessarily just the latest app, but it's sort of a trend of what people are saying. That's been pretty interesting. So much good stuff in the dev console. I can't say enough about it, but I'm not going to say
it's probably something you should talk about a little more, like, you know, because that's a side of
what,
Android that I think a lot of users don't see.
Yeah. And I tell you, there's a lot of it that I don't see because all our apps are free. So I'm not exposed to anything you see once you start, you know, selling apps. Once you hit that paid button, I don't know. But yeah, it was funny because somebody had mentioned, I forget what post it was on the other day. Somebody had mentioned their reviews were getting deleted. And it's like, no, your reviews are not getting deleted. There is no delete button for developers to kill reviews. That it does not exist, at least from the Dev Console that I am looking at right now. It's right here.
There is, however, a button for developers to leave really snarky comments to your comments. Someone on this podcast uses that button really frequently.
Me?
Yes.
I love responding to reviews. It's one of my favorite features. One, it's helpful, right? If somebody's having a problem, you can help them out. But I think people tend to forget that there are real people on the other side of those things. And barring that, I'm on the other side of these things. So you can, yeah, I hope people take it in jest, and I try not to reply angry. That's not a good idea. Let's see. Let me find a good one. Yeah. I mean, it's weird. Reviews can be weird. Somebody will be like, this thing is great, and then give it one star. You know, in that case, I'll mess with you a little bit. But yes, it's me. I am the man behind the curtain. When am I not the man behind the curtain? Anything else for this week? This brand new era of Ara. Hi. We'll have to have you back. This was fun.
Yeah.
The next big thing for us is MWC, right?
Yeah. So that's coming up at the end of February. It is, when do I get over there? We get over there on the 19th, and the show doesn't actually start till Monday, but like LG's already got something scheduled for that Sunday, which is all pretty par for the course. But the show actually starts on Monday. We're still expecting Samsung. We're expecting the Galaxy S7, the G5. We're expecting Alcatel will probably do something because it's been about a year since the Idol 3. Sony announced already. I forget what their thing is. I think it's Monday or Tuesday, maybe.
It doesn't matter. We won't see it in the U.S. until next year anyway. So
let's hope not. Maybe things will change.
Sure.
Asus.
I'll believe it when I can stick a Sony phone in my pocket.
Asus sometimes does things. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on this year. That's.
Is HTC doing MWC this
don't
year?
Know yet. They have not announced anything.
HTC needs to focus on exactly one thing, and that is getting a Vive on my desk as quickly as physically possible.
Yes.
I love you people. I want a thing on my face. Put a robot thing on my face.
Put me back in Tilt Brush. I will live there for a couple of weeks.
Tilt Brush is really awesome.
I saw this really cool thing. This video, this YouTube video, I completely forgot about it. I'm going to go back. I may actually write something about it later, where someone had taken a green screen and all of their friends were sitting in a room with a green screen, and they had Vive on. And the end result was that you could see everyone sitting in the environment that the person with the Vive was painting.
Hmm.
And I just thought that was the coolest thing to kind of incorporate those things together, because it was taking the video from the VR set and superimposing it on the green screen so that everyone was sitting in this world that was being drawn. And it was just fantastic.
All right. I think we're going to wrap it up for this week, as we are every week. We're brought to you by shopandroid.com. Go buy things, cases, batteries, battery cases, case batteries.
More cases. You can never have enough cases.
Or cables, actually. I'm stockpiling USB-C cables because I keep finding places where I need to have them stashed and I don't. Like my car and my wife's car.
Oh, speaking of, I think I forgot to ask you this before. For Android Auto, are you just using a USB adapter to C?
I'm just using a USB-C cable.
Okay.
I've got enough that I'm, leave one in the car now. Yeah. No, I would rather just have a cable than an adapter. It's just one fewer point of failure.
Sure. That was what I was wondering, was that if it was working with just the adapter.
Yeah, that I don't know. I'm just using it. Period. Done. So there's that. So yeah, we will be back at you next week. In some form, probably live on Thursday. We'll let you know. We'll try to let you know a little more ahead of time, too. I was actually supposed to be gone today. I was supposed to be traveling, but with that storm heading up the East Coast, I decided that maybe flying to New York today was not the best of ideas, because I wasn't sure when I would be able to come home from New York. So.
I will be podcasting next week live from Winterfell. So
yes, exactly. Winter is coming. Russell, Era, Jerry Alexander, thank you.
I was really hoping Jerry would be here today.
It's his day off. I got to figure out how to do this on his day off. Yeah. But thank you guys for being here. Thank you, everybody, for listening at home. And we'll see you all next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.